As soon as the heavily armored Libyan soldiers opened fire, the rebels drove off, leaving the journalists behind. Foley was with American freelancer Claire Gillis, a Spanish photographer named Manu Bravo, and South African photographer Anton Hamerl. Hamerl was hit almost immediately and did not survive.
Anton was in front. He was closest to the road, therefore closest to the shooting. I was right behind him, and then Claire and Manu were behind me. So I was better able to hear that Anton was wounded, and that he, when I called again, I said, "Anton, are you there?" No response. I think it hit me instinctively that, you know, these guys might just keep on shooting, and that it was better for me to jump up and surrender, at least identify ourselves as journalists. Maybe they didn't know.
But they were shooting at you, so when you jumped up, could you have been hit?
Well, that was the risk, right? I mean, that's the whole question, you know. Do you wait there and then, you know, systematically get shot down by, you know, 5 or 10 guys? Or do you jump up with your hands up, a kind of universal sign of I surrender, and maybe they just hit you a couple of times, and that's what happened.
Did you ever get a sense that you might not be released?
Fortunately, no. Fortunately, you know, these guys would always say, when we hit Tripoli a few days later, they said, you know, 2 or 3 days you'll be released. Well, of course, they were lying, but it gave you a sense of hope that, you know, what if they had said maybe a year, maybe 2 years? I think my thoughts would have turned much, much, much darker.
While you were waiting, how close were you to the NATO airstrikes?
We were in a general prison. That was the second to last prison we were in, and it was at the end of April. One night, the airstrikes came extremely close, maybe less than a kilometer, and it was terrifying because the other prisoners, guys who I was actually, you know, friends with, we were all in the cell together, took off a heavy steel door from the bathroom and began using it as a battering ram against the outer cell door. And I thought, wow, you know, we might all get killed if these guys get out, too. But it was just kind of this collective hysteria protest thing because the bombs are so close and you feel helpless. You know, you could be bombed in there and there's no way of getting you out.
Did you see your fellow captives every day? Were you able to offer support to each other?
It went like this. Claire and I were together for the first 12 days. Unfortunately, Manu was separated in another cell. Then we were taken to a general prison. Claire was put on the woman's side. Manu was in one cell, and I was in a different cell at the far end of the hall. So we could kind of yell to each other, Manu and I, but that's about it. And then we just kind of relied on Libyans for our conversation and support. And it was quite amazing. I mean, these are political prisoners who maybe sent a text message against Gaddafi, or maybe even less. Maybe they were just there because they were from a city and that was in active protest when they were captured.
But you got to spend some time with them, and that actually helped sustain you in a way.
Oh, of course, of course. They were very generous people, these captives. They treated me like a guest, gave me the best bunk bed. The food was initially kind of rough, but, you know, they made sure I had the little piece of chicken that was in the macaroni bowl. I mean, talk about somebody that's literally sustaining your morale at that time. You know, they're tremendous.
And did they do that because they felt that you were their connection to the outside world, a world that they felt would be very supportive of them?
I think there was a couple reasons. One, you know, kind of in this kind of Libyan Arab culture, a guest is a guest no matter what. Two, I had been captured in Benghazi, the rebel stronghold, so I was seen as being very sympathetic to their cause, obviously, sort of like on their side. And three, I think, you know, some of the more educated ones knew that I was wanting to tell their story, ultimately. And they said, Jim, remember us. Remember us when you get out. Remember to tell our story. And I said, you know, not only is this my job, but, you know, I swear to God that I'll do that.
Has this given you a different appreciation of the role of a conflict reporter?
It's a calling of mine to be a conflict journalist and a conflict reporter. I think it's the, you know, it's exposing the humanity of both sides. I mean, these rebels are not Al-Qaeda, as you know, Gaddafi calls them. There, a lot of them are middle class men who just are tired of this dictator, this tyrant, and some of them believe in democracy. Some of them want to go to see New York City someday. You know, normal things normal Americans might want.
James Foley is a reporter with Global Post and recently got back to New Hampshire after being held for 6 weeks in Libya. He is now back at work. He says as soon as he was captured, the other foreign journalists in Libya circled the wagons, as he called it, using every point of leverage they had to win his freedom, even though they barely knew him. Foley also says while he was in a Libyan prison, he drew strength from the knowledge that many people in this state and around the country were pressing for his release. For NHPR News, I'm John Greenberg.